Well, ever since we moved to Trail 11 years ago, every December I try and visit all of the neighbors on Old Trail Creek Road. There's about 30 of them, and if you expand to just beyond near the museum, and by the post office, there's about 35 folks. Well, the first year was simply to say, hello, I'm new to town. I'm one of your neighbors. I'm the pastor at the church. And my children and Kim baked some Christmas cookies. The kids decorated them. And so we made like 30 plates of cookies and took them around. Well, we thought that would be kind of a sweeten the deal because, you know, who is this strange guy knocking at the door kind of thing? But especially if you hand them cookies, people don't usually object too much. Well, later on, Kim started making mini banana breads. And those became very popular to the point where whenever I see them, they're like, oh, are you going to bring us another one this Christmas? So that works out great. And then a few years ago, I started giving out a tract or else an invitation to the Christmas Eve service. Well, about 5 years ago, we began to host a neighborhood barbecue at our house. And so, again, I would go from door to door and invite them to the barbecue. And it was a chance to try to get the neighbors to know each other, but also for us to connect with them and to find out if you walk in the church property, you won't get zapped or eaten by a wild bear. It's not that painful, really. I mean, so anyway, just trying to connect with folks. Well, the cool thing is that we've had a few folks start to come to church as a result. I've had a few good spiritual conversations. Some of the folks have come by to ask for prayer at times. But here's a little secret. I find it really difficult. I would much rather take a long nap on Sunday afternoon than I would go and knock on all my neighbors' doors. Now, I know none of them anymore are going to eat me, and even the big sign that says warning pit bulls, they're really friendlier than their sign shows. And by now I know who's going to invite me into the house, and they finally, nobody keeps the door open this much anymore. They open it this wide, say, oh, well, I'm on a diet, but thanks for coming by, slam. As a whole, it's okay, but I find it really difficult. The introvert part of me wants to stay away, but the I love Jesus part says go get him. So anyway, but in previous years, we've had really good attendance at our barbecue, over 20 at one point. But this last year, it was us four and just four more. And I was a little discouraged with that. The eight of us that were there had a great time, but I was really hoping more people would come. And suddenly I was struck by something. I had not prayed very much at all before I went and talked to my neighbors. You know, it was kind of like a hop in the car, start to drive down the driveway, and I go, oh, yeah, I better lift these people up to God. Oh, Lord, please show me who to go to. Should I turn right? Should I turn left? Should I go up that long driveway first or save the scary ones for later? And I really didn't put much effort into it beforehand. And I'm thinking to myself now, duh, that was dumb. You know, if you want God to work in people's hearts, you better really be talking to God first. You know, because most of my neighbors are living on Old Trail Creek Road for a reason. They don't want to live near anybody else. They want to be left alone. Now, there's a few exceptions, but in general, they don't want to interact much. And spiritual things aren't on a lot of their radars. And so my just showing up with a banana bread bribe, in a sense, is not going to instantly go, oh, those nuts are fabulous. Tell me about your Jesus. That's not really whatever happens. And so if I really want to talk to them about God, I've got to be talking to God about them first. And so the Lord's really convicted me of this in the last little while. So I started praying for my neighbors because I know about 90% of their names. The other ones I've got written down. And so I've started down by the stop sign and start working my way up the side of the road, get to No Name Lane, go all the way up there, and then come back down, go across the road, and then wiggle my way through the post office mentally. And I've started to pray for my neighbors on a regular basis, each one. And some of you who are my neighbors, well, I'd say God bless them. They already know you, but help them to keep knowing you. And so that's an awesome thing. But my desire is that when I go back in December, and it usually takes 3 or 4 trips, because 35 homes is a lot of places, that not only will they enjoy the banana bread and they'll want to talk, but we can maybe go beyond by, how you doing? You want 2 of them. I will talk to my chief baker, so. But hopefully, and when I invite them to church, we'll have more than just a regular run-of-the-book conversation. We're going to start a new sermon series for the next 4 weeks. It's going to take us up to Thanksgiving and Advent. And I didn't come up with the idea. It's written by a guy. The idea was from a guy named Dave Ferguson, who wrote a book, Bless, 5 Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World. It's really kind of a simple and effective way to meet people. At this cultural moment, in general, people don't like you to knock on their door. I'm going to keep doing it. But the idea is, instead of what do you want, hey, I'm here to bless you. And bless, B-L-E-S, stands for 5 things. Begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. You know, Jesus is praying for you. He's interceding for you. And I have a feeling, before you put your trust in Jesus, somebody prayed for you. You know, we can bless people, even that don't know Jesus, when we pray for them. This is a big deal. And when we pray, it's also acknowledging the fact that despite my winning ways and wonderful personality and big muscles or whatever, people are not necessarily going to want to know God just because of those things. No, if we want God to work, we're going to have to depend on Him. The next thing is listen with care. It's been said, you know, people don't listen to understand. They listen to so they can get a word in or reply. No, we want to listen to what's going on and hearing what's happening in their lives. That's often the first step. I found out recently through my last visit to folks that there's been a couple deaths on our street and a lot of heartache. And when we listen, people feel loved. I know I do. But eating together, this is an interesting thing. Eat or experience life together. Maybe you and your neighbor will get together and pull weeds. I don't know. Maybe in the common area. Or you'll interact or do something. Jesus had a lot of interactions with people around the table. The Last Supper, going over to Zacchaeus' house. You know, when he restored Peter, he did the cooking on the beach. When we eat together, that's a sense of we're connecting. And we'll talk more about that later. Also serving with love. Jesus himself, he came not to be served, but to serve. And when we serve people, it shows, hopefully, that we care. And why are we doing that? Because God cares. And also sharing your story. We don't just want to be known as the nice people down the street. Ultimately, we want people to know that there is a God who loves us, and we want them to know this God as well. And so hopefully as we take steps to bless others, they will be blessed as they come into relationship with Christ. Well, I'm going to pray because we're talking about prayer today, and then we'll jump in. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you would guide what we're talking about today. Father, we are so amazed that you love us, and you sent someone to tell us about you. And Lord, we want to be a blessing in the lives of those around us. Father, I pray that you would help everybody here to think of 2 or 3 folks that could really use you, and help them, Lord, to take steps to be a blessing. And God, it'd be so wonderful if in, let's say, a few months, we look back and see how you did work in an amazing way as we sought to partner with you. Guide our time this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, the term blessed or blessing are used a lot right now. If you go to Hobby Lobby, I bet you can buy like 25 different signs that say blessed or blessing. I'm not a real big hashtag guy, but hashtag blessed, you'll find all kinds of things. And often it's a celebrity showing off their 48-room mansion. Well, they are blessed, I guess. But anyway, here at church, sometimes we sing songs like Showers of Count Your, and I'm sure there's some other ones too. Well, we're going to have a series on bless. And first thing is, what is blessing? Well, it's God-centered, and it comes from God. And to be blessed truly is to be a recipient of God's favor and of his kindness and his goodness. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you are blessed. Really, and if you live in America, we are blessed by God for our country. We know it's got challenges, but wow. Travel the world and you will say, thank you, Lord, for our nation. It's always blessing is also other-centered. And then we're not just to take the blessings in, we're to pass them out. Kind of a foundational passage is found in Genesis chapter 12. And this is when God had called Abram. We read, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. This was kind of crazy. And then he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Isn't that amazing? Abram's doing his thing, and God says, Abram, I want to bless you. Whoa, wouldn't that be cool? You're walking outside and the voice from however was communicated to you, I want to bless you. Cool. Does that sound good? Creator of the universe wants to do something amazing for you. And then he goes on to explain how. He says, I will make your name great. And guess what? You will be a blessing. Ah, from the get-go, it wasn't just, Abram, I'm going to make you fat, dumb, and happy. No, I'm going to bless you so you can bless others. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Well, guess what? That is the case. Abram, who became Abraham, was the father of the Jewish nation. Through the Jewish nation, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus came, and wow, the Jesus is a blessing for all people. He came for the whole world. Well, it's interesting because God blessed Abraham in many ways, relationally, financially, spiritually. He also had children, which led to the coming of the Messiah. But the point of, again, his blessing was not just take it all in, but give it out. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's worth repeating. Every good thing that's come your way, physical, material, relationally, spiritually, is because God's given it to you. I mean, think about it. We all could have been born in Somalia and have no idea who Jesus is. We could be starving to death. But we could not know God and have no hope, no future, no idea of forgiveness, only condemnation. But we have God. This is a blessing. But again, he doesn't just want us to take it in. He wants us to be a channel of blessing. Oh, yeah, that's another song, I think. You know, I know people have beautiful homes, and they invite me over to their home. And it's a blessing for me. And guess what? I think it blesses them as they share. I also know some of you have not as beautiful homes, and you invite me over, and it's a blessing to be there. And I hope you're blessed. Some of you have cooked amazing meals and shared them with me and have been awesome. Some of you have made macaroni and cheese with stale saltines, and I'm like, ka-ching, I didn't have to cook. You know what? It doesn't matter. You don't even have to serve fresh popcorn to be a blessing. But the fact is, if you've been given something and you share it, God can use that. And it's amazing. As you share, as you're a blessing, guess who also gets blessed? You. You don't do it for that sake, but it happens. It's really cool how God works that way. Well, another thing that's incredible is we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. You look in Galatians 3:29, and through faith, we too are related to the seed of Abraham. Wow, we are related spiritually in a really wild way to Messiah who came. That's cool. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and we're adopted as sons and daughters. What a blessing. Now, I'll have to admit, I don't always feel blessed. I get up in the morning, some mornings, I'm like, oh, you probably feel the same. But just the fact you can get up and feel and are alive is a blessing from God. But the fact is we are blessed through Christ. Ephesians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Wow, I mean, this is amazing. Then think about the passage in Numbers, the great Aaronic blessing, I believe it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, being blessed is not just, hey, I feel yippy-skippy today. It's not just about receiving. It's about channel. But think about it. If your body, we've all seen bodies of water. You get the water goes in and then it doesn't go out. And what's it do? It turns green and gets yucky. If all you do is absorb, you know, if you go to 48 Bible studies a week and never sleep but never actually do anything with it, you'll be a walking encyclopedia that drives people nuts. So, you know, take in, yeah, but then be given out. I think the French philosopher Voltaire came up with a phrase, with great power comes great responsibility, but probably most of you have heard it. I think Uncle Ben said that to Spidey, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And then I think it switched from Uncle Ben. He must have died or something, and then Aunt May came about. Am I sort of right? Yep. I don't know any about, all I know is that phrase is what has come up in some Spider-Man movies. But the Bible's version's a tad different. With great blessing comes great responsibility. If you've been blessed, guess what? You have more things to do with that. And God wants us to enjoy him, but he wants us to be a blessing. And so really, the idea of our Blessed series is take what you have, particularly a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and spread it around. You know, when we talk about our Savior with others, remember, we're not trying to sell anybody something. We're not trying to get them to buy what they really don't want or don't need or can't use. You know, it's one thing if I have a jar of homemade pickle of banana anchovy jam and I try to convince you to buy it for $300 because it'll transform your life. One, it's going to taste terrible and you don't want it. Two, that's kind of ridiculous price. And it's not, no one you serve it to is going to ever want anything to do with you again. But that's not like Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. He is good. He is caring. He is kind. He is with us. I mean, think of the blessings you've had. Forgiveness, unconditional love, peace with God, no condemnation. You may not have a beautiful house here, but wait till you get to heaven. You got the help of the Holy Spirit in the now, peace in the present, hope for the future. And we could go on and on. Think about what God has given us. Amazing. Well, a few years ago, there was a doctoral thesis that was written that was very fascinating. It was called Blessers versus Converters. And it caught my attention as I'd read about it. It was because it was about two teams of missionaries that went to Thailand. But they went to Thailand with two very different agendas. The first team, the quote, converters, they went with the idea of converting people or evangelizing them. Hey, we want you to know about Jesus and turn your life over to him. The second team, they were termed the blessers. And they wanted to bless people. They came, yes, with the intention they wanted to share Jesus so people would be transformed. But they approached it a little differently. They said, I want to bless whoever comes my way. I want to be a blessing to the people in my community. Well, the study followed them for a couple of years, and here's what they discovered. The blessers had a much greater social impact than the so-called converters. In the end, those that interacted with the blessers found that there was a lot more, quote, social betterment and social good. The surprising thing also is that the first team of blessers had 50 times as many conversions. Wow, interesting. Yes, they went because they wanted to share the good news of Jesus, but they also said, we want to encourage, and we want this to be a better community. Incredible. Well, the bottom line of this research was that the best way to get the Jesus mission done of reaching and restoring people is to be a blesser. So we're going to begin with prayer today when it comes to being a blesser. And it's interesting, Jesus started his day with prayer on a number of occasions. You know, he got up early while it was still dark, left all the disciples sleeping and snoring, or we can just imagine, and he went off to pray. Well, guess what? Also, when he called his first disciples, he didn't get out his spreadsheet, his pros and cons. He didn't go to disciples.com to try to get the best applicants. No, for what did he do? He went off in the wilderness. He fasted and prayed, and in Luke 6, one of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples. Fascinating, you know, and he picked quite a bunch. You know, he didn't necessarily get the cream of the crop as we would envision it, but he chose who he wanted, and God was at work there. It's interesting because how do we tend to choose the best folks for an important role? I mean, this is a really important role he had for him. And it doesn't at first glance seem like he got the A team, not or the first round picks. But what did he do? Not what makes the most normal human natural sense. No, he spends the night and prays, and then he chooses them. And these 12 were going to be the ones he was going to use to get the message out. Now, think about this. He's the Son of God, and yet he is still praying. He is still going to God. And yes, he may have limited some of his power and ability to know who he should choose, but the fact is he also has demonstrated to us, if Jesus needs to pray, I think that's probably a good idea for us as well. And if he wanted wisdom and guidance and blessing from God, we should seek that as well. Now, I don't know what God told him while he was praying all night. I don't know if he heard, Peter, or Judas, yeah, that guy. Or if it was just kind of an impression, Or if those guys just kind of came wandering out of the wilderness and tripped and fell on him, he said, oh, yeah, you'll do. I don't know how God did this. Were there certain names or a certain sign? I don't know. But nevertheless, we do know Jesus prayed, and then he called them. He had common fishermen, corrupt taxpayers, violent political revolutionaries. A lot of them were just kind of nobodies that people would walk right by, but God knew what he was doing when he directed Jesus to choose them. So again, before you talk to God about someone, talk to God about that someone. A lot of my neighbors, again, they live where they do because they want some space. Most of them are kind of doing their own world. Some of them are very chatty and social and a real blessing. Others just kind of hide away and don't want to be touched or talked to or anything else. And if they knew that they were on my radar all the time, that would weird them out. You know, they'd be like, freaky button, you know. And if they know, hey, I'm going to come up and see them, they're like, oh, I'm going to go back to the bathroom or hide in the basement or go get lost in the whatever, or go to my annual trip to Wally World or whatever. I'm not a stalker for Jesus. I just appear that way to them, perhaps. But I try not to be too strange. But what I have been doing is I've been increasingly lifting them up to God and saying, you do something. Well, the missionary Hudson Taylor in the 19th century said, it is possible to move men through God by prayer alone. And so that's what I'm starting to try to do, and that's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Remember, as God's people, we're told, pray continually. That doesn't just mean for the best parking spots in every store you go to. That also means for really significant things. You know, we want them to get saved. We want them to know Jesus. And Charles Spurgeon had this quote. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with their arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. Let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. Keep in mind also, Jesus came to save and seek the lost. And he wants all people to be saved and come in knowledge of the truth. So if we're praying for people to come to know Jesus, that's a prayer that God's all, yes. Yes, that's good. You went beyond your goldfish's health to something really vital. When Jesus was praying for his disciples in John 17, he said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you've sent. God wants people to know Jesus, so they will have life in him. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. You know, as I read at the beginning of the service in 1 Timothy, urge everyone that all requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And Paul may have written that to the Ephesian church because they had kind of gotten distracted or because they'd forgotten to keep praying. It's a good reminder for me, and it's a good reminder for you. Let's keep praying for those around us that need to know him. In Ephesians 6, we read how Paul desperately wanted prayer so that he would communicate well. I mean, I think of Paul, oh man, that guy could share Jesus perfectly at the drop of a hat. Maybe at the drop of a stone too, you know. But anyway, even he asked for prayer. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I was thinking, again, Paul, man, that guy's not afraid of anybody. You can stone him, throw rocks at him, try to kill him, put him in jail, chase him around with a sword, a bunch of wild dogs, shipwreck him. But he even asked for prayer so he wouldn't be afraid. Okay, then I'm not the total lame-o for getting scared sometimes. Colossians 4, he says, pray for us too. God may open a door for our message so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray I'm going to proclaim it clearly as I should. I get nervous and stumble on my way with the words. Paul did too. We're in good company. So getting the message out is important. We want it to be understandable. But guess what? We have the Holy Spirit. We can say, Holy Spirit, I really need help. I want to talk about you, but I'm always terrible at how I do it and it doesn't seem to make any sense. And the Lord will help us. The truth be told, if he wants to use you and you're willing, you can speak in Chinese to a guy in Mexico and he'll go, ole, I get it, I want Jesus, if God is really working. Or you could be Billy Graham and he looks at you like you're nuts, if that's not the time God's really opening the doors. So I hope that made some sense. Anyway, God can use you if you're willing, but we also want to be prepared. So I want to challenge you to bless people in the next 4 weeks. Be praying. Oh, Lord, who would be two or three people that I could begin to bless with the intention that not just I get them and suck them in and then they come and sit in the pew with me, but that you truly bless them. And again, the greatest blessing would be to know God. And then weekly, I like to encourage you when you're at your small groups or at coffee talk or Bible study or even on the phone, spend more time talking about ways that you can bless others than you do about the election. Ooh. Yeah, wouldn't that be novel? You know, or whatever happens after. Okay, yeah. Oh, Lord, you can pray about that. But let's be known as blessers. That would be cool. And if you're afraid, again, to share, talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to help you. He can show you who to listen to, who to pray for, who to begin to do life with, who to serve and share with. I know that God can open hearts and minds and draw people to himself. I had experience in Cambodia where we were meeting regularly with a family. And I wrote in a newsletter. I typed it out. I emailed it to Denver. It sat there for a day or two. Eventually, they printed it. They popped it in envelopes. It got sent to people all over the place. Well, the next time I met with this family, we were talking about something. And all of a sudden, the older boy said, "Hey, can we talk about Jesus now?" "Ha-ha! I just asked people to pray that they would want to talk about Jesus more." And boom, it happened. That is cool. Well, I got to tell you, we have been praying for Cambodia, and amazing things have been happening. Yes, it is true. Tim and Jenny are on the ground. They are living there. It's crazy. Kim and I maybe play the tiniest of roles because we lived in that village too. But good things are happening. A while ago, we talked about this guy named Mac. He drives a motorcycle taxi. We prayed that he would come to faith in Jesus. He did a few months ago. And that was cool. And then he's actually begun preaching a couple times a month at the service. How do you like that? You know, you've been he's been a Christian like 3 months and he's already sharing sermons. That's crazy. Well, guess what? He got baptized in September. And there he is. This is cool. There was another, and again, we've been praying for him to come to faith, and now he has, and he's teaching and involved. And then there was another young man named Sim. Think about your SIM card. Well, maybe you don't think about your SIM card, but anyway, at the time when he got baptized, and there's a group of the believers there, he had a little red string tied around his wrist, and that's kind of a Buddhist good luck charm. They didn't realize whether they were baptizing him, and he still had the thing around his wrist, but he cut it off at one of the Sunday gatherings recently, so that's awesome. We've been praying God to mature the believers, and that's a big deal because people are going to be... Goes to see his mom and, "Whoa, where'd the Buddha string go? I don't need it anymore." What? You know, so that's a thing. But baptisms and snool are a little different. You can go to the next one. Among other things, you share the preaching time with cows. And you ride to the baptismal service in the back of a crazy cart attached to a motorcycle. And I think there might be another one of a bunch of kids swimming. After the baptism, when all the kids go swimming, they come out with leeches, and you have kind of a post-baptismal swim leech get-rid-of time. I think the baptisms were quick enough that the baptizees didn't get leeches, and hopefully Tim didn't either, but that's a little different. Well, we've been praying for Mac's wife, Kim. Last week, she decided to trust in Jesus. This is cool, you know? She also made the decision that she finally told Mac, "Okay, you can get rid of the ancestor altar in the house." And so Mac and the other church leader cleared out the altar material and they went and burned them. Yes, we have a little role by prayer in opening hearts and minds in a place far away that only a couple of us have ever been. But we're going to get to we're going to have a good old celebration someday. Prayer opens eyes and hearts. Well, there was another man named Knight who went to the baptism, but he's not a believer. His wife, Neera Day, was baptized, as well as her two daughters. And unfortunately for Knight, shortly after the baptism, a couple weeks ago, he was arrested and put in prison for drug use. Well, we want to pray for his salvation. The next picture is Makara took. his wife and two out of the three kids to go visit him in prison. It was a couple hours away. He only had 15 minutes. And as he took that picture, you can just imagine the heartache in their lives. Well, this lady and two of her kids just were baptized. It's a big deal when 99.9% of the people in your area don't know Jesus, and now you said, I want to follow him, and publicly declared faith. We want to pray for Nira Day. We'll just call her Day, or Near Day. Oh, that works. Near Day, and then her husband Knight. We can do that. We want to pray for Knight to come to know Jesus. But let's pray for all these folks. When people take the step of faith in baptism, around here, the devil doesn't like it. And there's often temptations and struggles. Over there, he hates it even more. Well, probably hates it the same. Yeah, he hates it. But let's pray that they would be strong. Let's pray for Knight and Day. Let's pray for Mac and Kim. And I want to encourage you to pray for your neighbors as well and your loved ones. God can begin to work. And this is really cool. So I'm going to close in prayer by praying for our brothers and sisters in Cambodia and then folks in our neighborhood, and then we'll rejoice together. Lord, I want to thank you that you are at work in Cambodia. I want to thank you for bringing Mac Makara to you. I pray, as you, God, that he turned from darkness to light, and then you've called him to service. And I praise you, Lord Jesus, that he's been living a life pleasing to you, and his wife has seen that and responded. We thank you for bringing Kim to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength, that you would keep them from temptation, that, Lord God, they would remain strong and solid. I would ask that this body of believers, with them and with Nirade and the girls who were baptized, and Sim, who just cut off his Buddha string, that you would help them to stand firm in their faith. I am absolutely certain that there are going to be pressures, that the neighbors and their family are going to really blame them for anything bad that happens in that town, because they're not pleasing the spirits anymore. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help them. God, how incredible is it that you allow us here to pray for people we've never met far away. And yet, Lord, you have used even our little prayers in the midst of everything else to accomplish your purposes. Lord, I pray that Knight there in prison would come to understand who you are, that he would see when he hopefully gets out that you have changed his wife and children. I pray, Lord God, that you help him to leave this life of addiction and probably sales, and that, God, that in prison you would get his attention. Lord, continue to grow this church. Someday I would pray that there would be 100 families that believe, and that, Lord, that there would be a church within walking distance of every home in that district. God, do a wonderful, powerful work. Jesus, around our neighborhoods, in our lives, those we interact with, there's lots of people that don't know you. We would ask by your Holy Spirit that they would come to understand their sin. They would also come to understand how good the Lord Jesus is. God, you are good, and our world thinks that you're a spoil sport, or you're non-existent, or you just love to smite people. And Father, none of those are true. The fact is, you came to seek and save, and you died so that people could live. And I pray that you would help us as a church to truly be a blessing. If it starts out, all we do is smile this week, hey, Lord, that's one thing. But God, please put on everyone's heart and mind several folks that they can begin praying for and show them how we can bless. Lord, you've blessed us. We want to pass it around. And we thank you for all you've done and will do. In your name I pray, amen.